Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, welcome to Horse Hour. I'm Amy Stevenson. Today we're joined by a very brave guest. Her name's Gemma Taylor and she works at the Blue Cross. But today she's sharing her own personal story of the moment she had to choose to put her horse down. It's a heartbreaking decision, and when we buy our horses, we don't think of the inevitable. How are we going to deal with that pain? How did she deal with that pain? Gemma kindly shares what she went through in the hope that if you're going through it, this might help. This is Horse Hour. Welcome to the Horse Hour podcast. We're welcoming back a guest today who has given us lots of education in the past. Her name is Gemma and she works for the Blue Cross Centres. And today she's kind enough to share her own story of losing her horse. Gemma, how are you?
Hello, I'm really well, thank you.
It's very brave of you to come on and talk about your own story, and especially something that affects many of us at some point. And so I'm really grateful, thank you. Can you start from the beginning and tell us about your horse, when you bought him?
Yeah, so I really wanted to sort of tell the story because I just think it's really important for people to know that, you know, everyone can make mistakes. So I'm an education officer at the Blue Cross and maybe I didn't pick the right time to euthanize my horse. But I had my horse Magic for, well, ever since I was 21, and she actually passed away when I was 38. So I had her for years. She was actually 39 years old when she passed away. Wow. As well. So amazing, amazing age. She was sort of like my best mate as well as a horse. We used to sort of hang out together, and especially in her older years, I just spent a lot more time looking after her. She had had two foals in previous homes, which the vet thought that made her uterus quite weak, and her bladder was weak as well. So she would constantly urinate all down her legs. So it meant that I would wash them, dry them, cream them up so that the urine didn't burn her. So I think, you know, I even sort of built a stronger bond with her in the last days, really, when she was older, just taking a lot more time and effort and care over her health, which was a little bit harder, I think, when I lost her.
I think the hardest thing is knowing when to make that decision. When is it best for your horse? Whenever you make that decision, it's going to affect you. Like you said, she's your best friend. But on top of that, I think some people say, well, it's okay because she's older, so she lasted a long time, longer than normal. But that's not going to make any difference to how you feel. The idea is that we want them to live as long as possible.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I remember my boyfriend saying at the time, oh, you know, she's had loads of nice years, she's 39, but that doesn't really make you feel any better. I think you go through lots of stages as well of grief, because essentially when you're making the decision for your horse to be put to sleep, you go through the whole, you know, who am I to take a life from an animal away? Even though you know you're making the right decision, you still have that guilt, I suppose, that you're a murderer, essentially. But then, you know, you have a little think about it. You think, no, it was the best thing from a welfare point of view. I know with Magic, I didn't have any other option. That option was sort of taken away from me, essentially. But I've had other horses where I've had to make that decision on their quality of life. And, you know, it's really difficult. And I think each situation is different with every single horse. And I think it's important for people to know that everyone feels the same. You know, it's normal to go through those stages of grief, guilt, remembering the fond memories, everything, really.
I guess the hardest thing is knowing at what point do we know it's for the good of the horse and the welfare of the horse and less on the expense for looking after the horse. Like, I know someone at the moment that she has a 27-year-old horse. He's really struggling. He's old. He's got arthritis. He's on 2 butadiene. He's feeding, having to feed him loads every day to keep weight on him. And she was going to make the decision last winter to put him to sleep, but couldn't do it. So she said, I'll take him through another summer, but I don't want him to go through that pain at the winter, a winter again, through a winter again. But it's at what point do we make that decision? It's so difficult.
I think that is the hardest thing. And for me with my horse, you know, I mean, the story went, she was completely happy. Although she was old, she was still hacking out occasionally. She didn't have a day's lameness in her life. One day I got a call from a neighbour while I was at work saying, you need to come home right now. Your horse is down. I can't get her up. Went straight back and called the vet out, and the vet actually thought she was exhausted because she had got her leg caught through the belly strap of the rug. So of course you sort of give them the benefit of the doubt because you want them to be okay. So I was like, oh, you know, yeah, maybe it was because she was tired. She seemed okay that night. For another couple of weeks she seemed absolutely fine, and then one day, it was really hot actually, and I just climbed over the gate and I couldn't see her anywhere, and I saw her field companions, and then I saw this little head just bobbing over the stinging nettles, and I knew, you know, you just know instantly that something isn't right. And she whinnied at me, and I sort of shouted at her, Magic, it's okay, I'm coming. Ran over, and she was lying on the floor. She had been to the loo, obviously. She was hungry. There's flies around her. It was really hot, so she hadn't been able to have a drink. And the guilt that I felt, because I didn't know how long she had been there for, you know, it was scorching hot that day. And I just thought, I suppose I beat myself up a little bit. I thought maybe I should have done this a few weeks before when she was down before and the vet came out. But I suppose I just thought it was the rug at the time. So then I felt, I suppose, enormous guilt that I left her essentially to suffer and I hadn't made the right choice at the right time. And I think it's very hard when you see a horse every day that you've known for years. It's so, so hard to make the timing right of that point where they don't suffer anymore. Without you feeling the guilt as well. It's a very hard decision. I think, you know, I think it's really important to have those honest conversations with the vet and say, you know, I want what's right with my horse. Don't be afraid to tell me when you think the time's right if you don't want to make that decision yourself on your own.
It's so much easier, isn't it, when the vets take it out of your hands and they almost make the decision for you. But most of the time they can't make the decision for you because it's either old age or if they hurt themselves in a really horrible way, if they hurt themselves and you have no choice, it's painful. But you then don't have the guilt to live with. I can only imagine how awful it must have been for you knowing that she's in pain. Just like little George, you know that he's struggling. But at what point do you then say enough's enough? Because he could go on for another 3 years. But is it right? Yeah. Are we right to let him go on for another 3 years struggling?
I think, I know Blue Cross sort of try and monitor it. So they look at the general health of what's going on with the horse. You know, has it got any pre-existing conditions? Has it got lameness, arthritis? Is it, what degree of pain is it in? We then look at their behaviour, you know, are they acting in any different way than normal? So are they looking a little bit depressed because maybe they're in pain, so they're not able to play with their field companions, they're not able to express that normal behavior? And I think that's a real telltale sign actually of things, I suppose, getting worse. Also, you know, are they able to eat? Are they able to have a normal diet? Or are we chucking in loads of food just to keep that weight on? And can they live in a normal environment? Are they happy in that environment? And I think when you look at those sort of five things all together, it allows you to get a bit of a better picture overall of what's right for that horse. Mm. And I really admire the people that can say, you know, before there's any suffering involved, time's right to do it now before any suffering happens. Because I think it's an enormous decision, a very brave decision of people to be able to make. And it's honourable, really, that they can do that. So I think maybe talking to friends as well, because when you see your horse every single day, you don't necessarily see it going downhill, because that's normal to you, essentially. But maybe a friend that hasn't seen your horse for 2-3 months can pop down and just say, actually, you know, it has deteriorated, and maybe, you know, it's time now. So I think talking is very important to get people's opinions, maybe.
That would be so lovely. That would be so lovely. But I don't think I could be the one to tell my friend that it's the time. Because, it's whatever you do, Gemma, I keep saying it's really hard and it's really difficult. But I just feel I wouldn't want that responsibility, because I wouldn't want them to always blame me. I mean, if the horse was on its knees and, you know, really, really, it really was the best decision there and then yeah, that's a bit different.
But maybe you could say, you know, it has gone downhill a little bit. Mm. Maybe you ought to call the vet in and then have that honest conversation with the vet, and hopefully then it's taken out of your hands and they can say, you know what, I think the best decision is to have it put to sleep. And I think it's a very brave thing to do and a very hard thing to do, but I think we all need to be a little bit better about it, including myself, because obviously I wanted to talk about my experience, how it made me feel, and I suppose how still today I live with a little bit of guilt of not getting that time right, and I didn't do what I promised I would always do, and that's to look after her and make the right decisions for her welfare. So I think, yeah, doing it again, I think I would look a lot more objectively, and I would try and, I suppose, dissociate myself, because I think when the love comes in there and when your feelings come in there, that can very easily sway your decisions.
Mm. Oh, but Gemma, hindsight's a wonderful thing.
And, I know.
And it sounds to me like you did do the best for her and it was the right decision at the right time.
Yeah, I mean, I still live with the guilt, because obviously that day when I found her, she had actually gone down. The vet thinks that she was paralysed, which is why she couldn't get up. Me and my dad actually tried to get her up a few times. I remember my dad going, come on, Magic, this is your last chance. You need to get up. And it was heartbreaking. But when the vet actually got there, straight away, he just said, you know, she needs to be put to sleep. And even when we put her to sleep, she still fought it, because in her head, she was absolutely fine. And I think that's really distressing. And it's something that I wanted to talk openly about, to allow people to know that, you know, things will go wrong and you will get the timing wrong. But actually, you know, you're only trying for the good of the horse, essentially, and yeah, you're going to feel guilt and you're going to feel sadness, but you can only learn by your experiences. And I think it's really important I talk about my experiences, just so that people are aware, so that people can, I suppose, find the process maybe a little bit easier.
Well, they can understand how you feel. I know a yeah, lovely lady who recently sent me a message saying it's been a year since she had to make that decision for her horse, mm-hmm, and she still can't get over it. And I don't know if you ever really get over it. In a very odd, kind of different but almost similar way, I very nearly had to put Blackjack down. And he was 4. Oh, and they yeah, said, many of you that listen to this podcast will know his story, but they said that his body will never heal. He'll never be able to be ridden again. And so I went through the emotions of losing him and having to make that decision. As it stands, I was very lucky, because I did have an alternative option, which was to retire him and see how he went and monitor him. Yeah. And so that's the decision that I made. But for those 3 days of when I thought I was going to lose him, I was heartbroken. And I was even more heartbroken at the fact that I had to do it.
Yeah, it's hard, but I think, if we're going to have animals, I suppose that's our duty and that's our decision, and we have to realise that we have to make those decisions eventually, with some of them where it's not taken out of our hands. And I think it's probably one of the hardest things you ever go through. And I think you never stop beating yourself up about decisions that you've made or things that you've done.
Because you never really know, and that's the hardest thing with horses—they can't actually talk to us. So,
No.
as much as Vicky is having guilt a year on for making that decision, I have guilt for a year on for not knowing if it was the right decision, and is he still in pain now, and was it the right decision, and we're humans and we're emotional, and
Yes.
it's I don't even know how you live with the guilt. I do you just take it day by day? How did you deal with it?
Okay, so I'm really fortunate enough to work in the same office as our pet bereavement support service. They do an absolutely fantastic job. It's manned by qualified volunteers, they're a counselling service, so they sit and they listen to you. I think most of the people that ring up do have that guilt. They do go through different stages. There's different stages of grieving as well. So you might feel guilt, you might feel anger, you might feel total devastation and loss, especially with a horse. It's a big thing to lose, and it's not only your friend and a pet, but it can be sometimes a lifestyle as well. You're not getting up early in the morning and going to muck them out. Suddenly, you've got loads of time on your hands. You've got all the tack that you need to sort out. Are you going to keep it, or are you going to sell it on, or what's going to happen? So so many different things, I suppose, knock-on effects from losing a horse more than, I suppose, a lot of other animals.
And there's the are you there's always the thoughts, are you being judged? No, does anybody? One person said to me once, I can't really talk to anybody about it because they don't really understand. I feel a little bit silly for still being upset. And you don't need to feel silly because everybody grieves in their own way. And they are, like you say, a huge part of your life for so long. They are part of the family. And I think it's so important to talk to other horse owners when you're going through this, rather than people that are
Definitely.
not going to be able to understand the relationship that you had.
Most of our volunteers are people that have experienced loss themselves. So they do know where you're coming from. They understand what emotions you're going to be going through. You don't have to necessarily talk to them on the phone. We run an email, a free email service as well. Also, me talking to my friends really helped because I know my friends like to tell me funny stories about the horse. So that would cheer me up, remembering the good times rather than, the ending of it all. But I think it's really important to talk because if you just sit there worrying about it, thinking about all the bad things that have happened in the last moments, I think you lose sight of all the good times that you've had. And you have to rely upon those people to talk you through it and tell you that actually what you're going through is completely normal. It's absolutely normal, and it's going to take time. And will you ever get over that? I don't know, but I think the harshness fades and you remember the better memories because that's just how we cope as humans. But yeah, no, I definitely recommend talking. I know they were fab. We sat and we giggled about good times and what happened and when I fell off, or random things that actually, yeah, you can start, I suppose, building on nice memories. And I also, I've lost about four horses actually, all through old age over the last 4 or 5 years. So I personally, and some people don't like doing this, but I kept little bits of, like, little lockets of tails. And because all my horses are friends and they all live together, I'm going to get them all sort of woven together into a bracelet so that I have that memory of them all being together in a bracelet that I can keep with me always. So, things like that might work for certain people, little memory boxes. Any way, I think, to help you cope with the situation. So just do what's right for you at the time.
I think one of the other emotions is, in a way, you're lucky that your horses were with you for such a long time.
Yeah.
and through to old age. And many people have to make that decision when their horses are still young. So one of the emotions is what they've lost in the future. So I'm never going to be able to jump in like that. I'm never going to be able to. We should be going out and doing cross country. And it's also not only a loss of the horse, but a loss of their dream and of their future and what they could have done together.
Definitely. And I think that's probably, you know, the saddest is losing a young horse, you know, because you can see that bright future ahead of you. And I just think that's really, really tragic. At least when they're old, it's sort of inevitable, isn't it? That's going to happen at some point. You know, we see a lot of welfare horses that come through our doors, often very young. And sometimes we can't save them as much as we can try. You know, they're too far gone and they've got conditions that we can't save. And it's part of life. And it's really.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Really, really tough, and I think it always hits you harder when it's a youngster rather than something a little bit older.
And what's so interesting with you, Gemma, is that you are faced with this every day with your job and what you do, and it just goes to show that it affects everybody in a really big way. So you still feel the pain, you still feel the hurt, and I don't want you to go through that. I don't want anybody to go through that because it's horrific. But what I'm saying is that we don't work with horses all the time, and it's okay for us to feel that pain and guilt and upset and anger and frustration and confusion for a long time of not knowing how to handle it.
Yeah, it's totally okay to feel like that. You know, although, yes, I have dealt with it, you know, on a regular basis and working in welfare, I suddenly found it was completely different with my horses at home because I could make those really tough decisions at work with the support network of our vets, of our clinical staff, of our grooms. And I could see that was definitely right for the horse in a work environment. Totally right, because I could detach myself from my feelings a little bit. But when you have to make that decision with your own horse that you see twice a day, all day some days, it's totally different. And it's really bizarre that you have totally different emotions and you can't necessarily make those judgment calls as easily because you're almost too emotionally involved. Do you know what I mean? It's so much harder to make those right decisions.
A long time ago, I had a dog, and I know it's not a horse, but he was my pet and I loved him. He was my first dog. And the decision had to be made to put him to sleep. And I just couldn't bring myself to it. I actually made my dad, and I feel so bad for him now because he was the one that had to make the decision. It was right for the dog. I knew it was right, but couldn't bring myself to take him to the vet and to do it. And every day, that was 11 years ago, every day I think about that dog and I think about how guilty I feel. and was it the right decision? And because with him, there was nothing wrong with him physically, but mentally he had serious aggression issues. And he bit and he bit and he bit and he bit. And I couldn't trust him around children. He bit me. I couldn't trust him around me. And I spoke to every expert under the sun on breeding, on his breeding, on veterinary advice. And they all said the same thing. He's not right in the head, and he's inbred, and this is the decision. But my point, I guess, is there family around you at that point if you're not strong enough? Because you do have to be so strong. And like you said, you're so brave to do that and to make that decision. And not everybody is that strong. Is there family around you that can almost take that away from you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely worth speaking to people, because I know that, you know, my parents, I've been in a very similar situation to you, actually, with one of my dogs. And although I can be around it at work, sometimes with my pets, I can't do it either. And I remember sending my mum to put my dog to sleep, and I still feel guilt that I wasn't there in her last moments, so that she didn't see me and I wasn't sort of making sure that she was okay. I still feel that guilt now. But I couldn't physically be there because I knew that I would be in tears and actually upset her more. So I think it's really important to just do what you feel is right in that situation, because only you will know. You know, everybody deals with it differently. It's worth asking family to help you out as well. It's worth asking friends as well to help you out with those decisions, or even being there when euthanasia is done. There's not one way to deal with it, so I can't advise, you know, on how to deal with it, because it's so individual to the circumstances, to the person. And I think the only thing you can do is just talk about it afterwards as soon as you're able to, you know, discuss your feelings. Don't be shy about discussing your feelings. Everybody goes through the same emotions, and it's good to talk and it's good to share memories and do what you feel is right for you.
Totally agree. It's the judging, though. You worry that people are going to judge you for making that decision. Even now, I think I don't tell many people, because I think, oh gosh, they'll think, oh, it could have been trained out of him, or, you know. And it's exactly the same with horses, that you worry, I think, of other people's perceptions and what they're going to think.
But I suppose if we're all probably thinking that we're going to get judged, so everyone is shying possibly away from situations, or possibly away from talking about their feelings, because everybody's in the same boat and everybody's worried about being judged. And actually, I think if we're all honest with each other and we're all open with feelings, as hard as it is, I think it becomes less of a taboo. And actually, because it becomes less of a taboo, I think people are more likely to make the right decisions for their animals, so that less suffering happens in the long term.
Yes, totally, totally agree. Gemma, for you, at what point did you then decide that you could get another horse and that you could get back into it?
Okay, well, I didn't actually get another horse, because she was, I still had a companion for her, which is mine. And I actually lost two horses last year. So I lost one little miniature Shetland that I'd had for years, and he was a chronic laminitic. He was found in a scrapyard. Work took him in. I decided he was so adorable, I would take him home. But he was a chronic laminitic, and although I managed it very well, his tendons started to contract, just because he'd had it so much in the past, that at that point I planned the euthanasia. And I'd planned it for like a week afterwards. And I have to say, on the run-up to it, really, really hard, because I wanted to spend as much time with him. I didn't know how to say goodbye. I was feeling the guilt. Once it had happened, I totally 100% knew that I'd done the right thing for him, because, you know, he had been impaled in the last couple of weeks. And then I lost another one very suddenly in November. And I got down to the field and he wasn't able to move, which was really bizarre for him, because he hated the rain. Like, one speck of rain, he would leg it into the shelter as fast as he could. And it was on one particular day where it was just torrential rain. He stood in the field and I knew something wasn't right straight away. And I made him a bucket. and he wouldn't come over. So I called the vet straight away, and the vet came out, and we tried to move him. And he really panicked when we tried to move him. We suspected that he may have broken his neck or something.
Oh my gosh.
But they gave him some pain relief. And for about 3 days, he was absolutely fine. So I thought, oh, thank goodness. You know, we tried the pain relief and the muscle relaxants. It must have been something, you know, nerve course or something. But the following Monday, he did exactly the same. And whilst waiting for the vet, he actually coughed and a lot of blood came out. So that was the decision totally made for me that as soon as the vet arrived, we would put him to sleep. And I actually had got a little youngster from work to keep him company. But I did say, you know, as soon as I lose him, she will have to come back because I can't keep on getting friends for friends. So she came back and she's now been backed and she's rehomed in a lovely new Blue Cross home. And I'm having a little bit of time out from horses because I've sort of, I suppose, had so much happen over the last 4 years. I just need a bit of time out. And then I think I'm going to go back into it and maybe foster some horses from the Blue Cross. Oh. So give those really like needed horses a home until they find their forever home. And I can sort of concentrate my skills on confidence building for them and, you know, their first experience with the farrier and stuff like that. So that's what I'm hoping to do is I've got a couple of fields at home and put a bit of good back into the horse industry, I suppose.
That's a lovely idea. And that's good for your mental state as well. You know, you're not rushing into getting another horse, because a question I often get asked is at what point should I be going and buying another horse, and I don't feel that I can bond with another horse. And when I went through the few days with Blackjack, I couldn't even consider getting another horse. There was absolutely no way. And some people are saying months down the line, I still don't feel ready, but that's okay. I think sometimes it's I think a nice little stepping stone is just sharing someone else's horse, and you don't have that you don't have that attachment straight away. It gives you a chance that if you don't bond with it, it's never going to be the same as your horse. But if you don't bond with it, it gets you into riding, still in the environment. You're not missing out, and almost like take those stepping stones as a first rider again into having a horse yourself.
Well, you know, you could even volunteer for a charity, so you've got the hands-on sort of grooming and petting of the horse without having the responsibility necessarily of having another one at home. And it might be that you totally fall in love with one of the horses you're working with at the charity and you take it home. That's sort of a way to do it, essentially. But for me, all my horses have sort of ended up with me. It's always been it's meant to be. Do you know what I mean? I've just been in the right time at the right place, fallen in love with them, and they've come home with me. So I'm just waiting for that right time and right horse to come up again. I think there's no rush for me. You know, I'm enjoying a bit of time out. I'm enjoying the lay-ins just for a few months, because I've always had horses all my life. So I'm just going to have a little bit of time off, and then, yeah, I'll probably foster at first until that special one comes along that pulls on my heartstrings again.
I think you're really sensible, Gemma, and whatever we say is never going to take it away and take that what everybody goes through when you have to make that decision. And I think it's so important that you make that decision yourself, and you do learn, you will learn to cope with it. And I don't know if you'll ever get over it. I don't think I'd ever get over it.
No,
I don't think I'd ever get over the loss. Maybe you can come to terms with making the decision, but I don't think you ever get over the loss.
No,
and I think
however you
deal with it is okay, and it's right, and it's normal, and you're not crazy, and you're not losing the plot, and you know you're not having a breakdown. This is all perfectly normal.
Of course it is. Yeah. I think, you know, losing an animal is like losing a member of your family, essentially. And I think, you know, you have to realize that, because they've been such a big part of your life and you've invested so much time, love and energy into it. You are going to feel that loss, and it's going to affect everybody completely differently, and we can't foresee how it's going to affect us either.
I mean, you get some people that go, oh, it's only a horse. Are you kidding me? We spend more time with our horses than we do our partners.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, totally agree.
No doubt we'd want our horse carrying the rings at the wedding. You know, they are they are our lives. But you're incredibly brave for not only have you been through so much the last 4 years, but being open enough to tell us and share your story. And I completely commend you for it, Gemma, because it's very, very brave of you. Thank you.
Thank you. I really wanted to. I wrote an article actually for Horse Magazine, which is how this sort of story has come up. And I wanted to put it out there to, I suppose, help horses' welfare in the future, for people to make better decisions, and to also highlight that Blue Cross has that support network through our Pet Bereavement Support Service as well, to, you know, to be that support after you've made that decision, or in fact even before you've made that decision, of coming to terms with that decision as well. And I wanted to highlight all those facts, I suppose, sort of in memory of my horse, really, sort of doing some good out of something that's happened that's bad.
It's a lovely idea. So we can get that, we can read that article in Horse Magazine. And don't you have somebody, you have someone else has added to the article as well, haven't
they? Yeah, so we've got our head of clinical, David Catlow, that talks about quality of life and how we would measure quality of life at Blue Cross. So just a little bit of information about, you know, how do you monitor the health, behaviour, companionship, diet and environment as well, and how we sort of set up, I suppose we have to look at it in quite a business-like way, essentially, and it's all broken down so that we can really see what's going on with that horse or that dog or that cat, to be able to make those right decisions without emotions getting in the way, which they often can.
You've also got a bereavement team who helped you. Have you got the telephone number for them? Because there's things that we don't want to think about when we're making these decisions. Actually, we have to. So we have to think about what's going to happen to your horse afterwards. How do you go through the process? And I really don't want to go into that detail on here because it's too heartbreaking. But those are decisions that you do have to decide, and your pet bereavement team can help with that, can't they? They can talk you through the process. What's the telephone number?
So we have a support line. It's open from 8:30 in the morning to 8:30 at night. That's 365 days a year as well. The number is 0800 096 6606, or you can email pbssmail@bluecross.org.uk,
and we'll make both of those available on our website horsehour.co.uk and on Twitter as well. So if you are struggling and either you've been through this or you think you might have to go through it, then everybody is here to support you and help you, because I really don't want you to feel alone. And Gemma, I know that you don't want people to feel alone as well, because
no, totally,
this
happens
a lot.
It happens on a daily basis for someone somewhere. It's really good to get that support and maybe make those plans early as well. Think about it now whilst your horse is healthy, of what would you do in an emergency, because I think that would really help when the decision comes. We also have a pet bereavement memorial site as well. So if you have lost an animal and you'd like to make a lovely memorial, you can actually go onto our website and write some few little words about them or what have you, which is quite a nice little gift to leave, I suppose, in memory of your loved pet.
That's a really lovely idea.
Yeah.
Because I know this sounds bad, but for a long time I couldn't have any pictures out. I felt so bad. So all the pictures went away, and then, you know, you get the memories up on Facebook, and sometimes you're not just, your brain isn't ready to deal with that. But at some point I knew I wanted to keep the pictures, because at some point I'd be okay with looking at them. And eventually that came later.
Time heals. Yeah. Yeah, time is the best healer, and I think eventually you remember those lovely memories rather than have that hurt and that guilt. Everyone's different at coping with things differently. Do what's right for you, and I think that's the best advice I can give.
Well, Gemma, you're amazing, incredibly brave.
Thank you.
Thank you so, so much. We can, and the Blue Cross are great as well. You offer so much of advice and education. How can we follow the Blue Cross on Twitter?
We have @the_blue_cross, or you can follow me and my team on @BlueCrossEDU, which is EDU, and follow the work that we're doing.
That's wonderful. Thanks so much, Gemma. We'll
Lovely.
Speak
Thanks,
to you soon.
Amy.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks so much for listening. I hope even a little bit of this episode helps you. If you're looking for support, then the number for the Blue Cross Pet Bereavement Service is 0800 096 6606. They're open from 8:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. every day. And if you're listening to this from another country, maybe you live in Australia or New Zealand, or you could be listening from America, then you can actually email the Blue Cross Pet Bereavement Service in the UK if you're looking for support. There are services in each of your individual countries, but if you'd need help tonight, then the Blue Cross have said they will open up the lines to you as well. Please feel that you can talk about this. It's okay to talk about it, and whatever you're going through is perfectly normal. You don't need me to tell you how heartbreaking it is, and I just feel for you so much that you're going through this right now. If you're on Twitter, then we do have support on Twitter as well. Just use hashtag horse hour. So many of you have been through this. I mean, if you think of the millions of horses that are out there, we're all going to lose them at some point. And I certainly hope that the day that I have to say goodbye to Blackjack, I hope that people will be there to support me. So I'm here to support you as well. You can tweet me at AmyStevenson1, all hours of the night, I don't mind. And Horse Hour is at Horse Hour. Thank you so much for listening to this. I will be doing a Horse Hour live from 8 o'clock Monday night to 9 o'clock. And tonight we're talking pet bereavement, where more people will be sharing stories. If you'd like to share your story, then drop us a direct message, or you can email team@horsehour.co.uk, and we can have a chat with you and hear some lovely memories of your horse as well as what you're going through right now. Hope you're okay. I'll speak to you soon.
You've been listening to Horse Hour. Join the community on Twitter Mondays 8 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Eastern, by using the hashtag Horse Hour. Follow Amy at AmyStevenson1 and subscribe to us on Acast, iTunes, Stitcher and Player FM.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.